state of Florida votes on Tuesday in the Florida GOP primary. They moved the primary up. It's certainly going to be very, very significant in this race. It may decide the fate of Mitt Romney. It may determine whether Newt Gingrich is actually a viable challenger to Mitt Romney, and it may determine whether Rick Santorum stays in the race or not. But Florida is a very diverse state, as one commentator referred already this morning on the program. It's a land of many planets. There's Planet Jacksonville, Planet South Florida, Planet Tampa, Planet Orlando, and Planet Panhandle. And all of those planets will figure prominently in solar system of politics that will get tested on Tuesday. Joining us now is Anna Sale, reporter for itsafreecountry.org. She's in Miami this morning. Anna, welcome to the program.
Hey, John.
It's so challenging to even begin to think you can take the pulse of voters in Florida like you can in Iowa for the caucuses or the small New Hampshire, relatively homogenous state, even though they are independent-minded up there in New Hampshire, and even South Carolina. What are the challenges for you in Florida?
Well, I was in Central Florida in a small town yesterday morning, and then was spent some time in Tampa talking to folks. And, of course, they are different planets. But one thing I was struck by is talking to folks, everybody seemed to have a slightly different mood about the economy than what I found in South Carolina or Iowa or New Hampshire. In Florida, of course, the unemployment rate is higher than the national average, and the foreclosure crisis has not turned into a housing recovery here in Florida. One in every 360 units in Florida was in foreclosure in December, which is second only to California. So I started my day at a Tea Party rally for Newt Gingrich in a small town called Mount Dora, which is in Central Florida. And talking to Tea Party folks, I heard, you know, the similar things about concern about the healthcare legislation, that it was government overreach. But underscoring all of that, you definitely picked up on this sense of economic scarcity. Here's a voter I talked to. Her name is Charlotte Jardine, who's retired.
I don't think that what I have worked for all my life should be handed over to other people, and that's all I see from the Democrats and many of the Republicans.
And so that's something, of course, you hear at Tea Party rallies all the time. But she's retired. She wants to hang on to her money. And I asked her about the local economy there, and she just told me, you know, it just hasn't gotten better here.
Now, that's an anti-government sentiment that we've come to expect from Tea Party folks. And Mount Dora, Florida, where you spoke with Charlotte Jardine, that's in Central Florida?
That's in Central Florida. And I did run into some other folks who, Tea Party members of these local groups, had joined up several years ago, back in 2009, the first year of the Obama administration. But some were hit sort of more personally than others by the bad economy. I talked to a woman named Sue Ray, a member of a local Tea Party group, and also runs a hardware business. And her sense was, she talked not so much about policy, but just about how this has been a long slog for her.
Everybody is hurting in our industry of industrial hardware, and a lot of construction has gone down, and in turn it's just a domino effect with a lot of businesses. And somebody has to get in there that'll encourage this country, be proud of this country, and give me a sense of hope. He didn't provide me any hope and change.
Anna, that's so interesting.
It's just anti-incumbent sort of, I haven't seen it and I need more. That was her attitude.
Well, you've got this sense of hope in the band playing there in the background, but she's really down in the dumps. And I'm wondering if the anger that we've been focused on with the Tea Party for so long, really since Barack Obama got elected, is being tempered by this sense of it is such a long slog.
I mean, it's so interesting, you know, you hear Hank Williams behind these voters who are telling these stories, you know, that they were trying to rev up the crowd before Newt Gingrich got there. And then I was just hearing story after story of folks being really personally hit by the economy. And it was interesting, even folks who'd had to rely on government support. I talked to a Republican voter named Andrew Mullen, and we started talking, and he first started listing off the things he didn't like about the Obama administration. He didn't like the spending on cash for clunkers. He wanted to see Guantanamo Bay closed. It seemed to him that President Obama was just over his head when it came to the economy. But then he told me this.
The only good thing I have to say about him is he did extend the COBRA copay, where when I was laid off, I actually had a huge savings due to him. So that's about the only thing that I've seen directly affect me.
So Cobra, he went on to tell me he lost his job 3 years ago from a large consulting firm. The Cobra copay extension helped him hold on to his health insurance. For the last 3 years, he's been trying to piece together work. He's been on unemployment some. He's now working part-time for ghost tours and doing pub crawls for tourists. But he still said he has a sense that Obama, he called him an empty suit. But then I asked him about the Republican candidates. He said he's planning on voting for a Republican. And I asked him about what he thought about Newt Gingrich's sort of term, the food stamp president, how that sounded to him as somebody who'd had to ask for some help during the tough economy. And it definitely seemed to have hit a nerve.
As a, this guy is not for, doesn't have a pulse on the people. He's, that's a complete Republican Party line stance, is to cut back on food stamps and assistance. If you want to cut back, close military bases, use that money to supplement these programs.
A real level of ambivalence.
He supports Ron Paul, but he said Ron Paul's got a marketing problem, and says, but, you know, Obama had his chance, so he's going to vote Republican.
But he is in the Ron Paul camp and very testy when it comes to some of Newt Gingrich's positions. All right, let's move to some different constituents.
Yeah, what you do, I mean, the thing to keep in mind here in Florida is there's the Republican primary election happening, but Democrats and independent voters are listening in to all this campaigning, and all of these voters will be essential for any candidate who wants to make it to the White House in November. And I was around Tampa yesterday after being in Mount Dora, and just one thing I was absolutely struck by, just talking to folks, I was in a cafe talking to a guy about the local economy, and we asked him if he knew anyone who had been in foreclosure. And he mentioned a few friends, and then a woman a table over just kind of volunteered, oh, I'm in foreclosure, just a table over. And this was a university professor at the University of South Florida. Her name's Annette Pollock. She's a Democrat, and she told me that she couldn't sell her house after divorce, and she never lost her job, but because the housing market had collapsed, she couldn't sell her house, couldn't make the payments, and couldn't get the bank to help her modify her loan. So now she's been in her house for months and months and months in foreclosure, and she's not hearing any answers. And this is what she had to say about that.
Well, we actually don't have time to listen to it, but it's just so interesting that she again describes this portrait of how difficult life is for people in Florida. And that's really the political motivation for so many people down there. Anna Sale, reporter for itsafreecountry.org in Miami. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
And at 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at some other headlines. In Iraq this morning, at least 24 people have been killed by a bomb explosion in Baghdad. The attack appears to have been timed to coincide with a funeral procession that was taking place in a Shiite part of the city. Washington has threatened to pull aid it gives to the nation of Egypt. That threat comes as Egypt continues to hold six U.S. workers and has banned those workers from leaving the country. The State Department has warned Egyptian authorities they would withhold $1.3 billion in aid, but at this stage, the six U.S. workers are not being referred to by U.S. officials as hostages. President Obama will wrap up a three-day tour promoting his economic agenda today. He'll be at the University of Michigan, where he's expected to unveil a plan to control tuition and university costs by withholding federal funds if college tuition costs go too high. As political analysts pick apart last night's Florida Republican presidential debate, some of the discussion is focused on a slightly more forceful Mitt Romney. Governor Romney hired a new debate coach ahead of the CNN debate. You can hear the results for yourself.
Mr. Speaker, I know that sounds like an enormous revelation, but have you checked your own investments? If I had a business executive come to me and say they wanted to spend a few hundred billion dollars to put a colony on the moon, I'd say you're fired.
Republican presidential frontrunners Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are scheduled to speak to the Hispanic Leadership Network in Florida today. You're listening to The Takeaway. We can always tell us your view at thetakeaway.org. How fluent is fluent enough as far as English is concerned? The story of an Arizona woman who couldn't run for office because her English wasn't up to par. We want to hear from you. Tell us a time when you tried to operate in a second language. Did you get by? Did you fail spectacularly? Did you try to run for something? Tell us that story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. A little later, Twitter has announced they're going to restrict tweets in certain countries reflecting what they call different ideas about freedom of expression. It may allow Twitter to grow, but possibly not freedom of speech. First, we're going to take a break.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.